सुसेगा दमपार आई कोपियां के मोजो नमस्कार हां फ्रेंकी फर्नांडिस मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सन तुम का यो गोंचो कोब्रो कोकनी क्लियन पाविता आज मायाची 2 तारीख सुरुवात एक खबर सान फ्रांसिस शावेर हाचेर मुरमुगा वास्को हांगा आड लोपी गौतम कट्टर हाका गेल्ल्या सुमारांत हिमाचल प्रदेश हांगाच्या पुलिसांनी डिटेन केलो आनी गोंय पुलिसाच्या ताब्यांत दिलो आनी ताका गोंयांत हाडून अरेस्ट केला ताका सद्याक 7 दिसांचो पुलीस कस्टडी दिल्ली आसा गेल्ल्या सोमारांत आल्दोनचो काँग्रेस पक्षाचो आमदार एडवोकेट कार्लोस आल्वारीस फरेरा हाणे अनेक पुलीस कंप्लेंट केल्ली आसा ह्या गौतम खट्टर हाचेर
रिपीटेड पॅटर्न्स ऑफ दीस मॅन कमिंग टू डिस्ट्रॉय आमचे गोंय जाणा आमी पिसको आमी भाव भयण म्हणून सगळे रावता आमी कोणाचे धर्म हे आनी त्या बरोबर वचना आमी एकमेकाचे घरां भितर भायर वयता आतां आमी सगळे फेस्टिवला आमी वांगडा वयता हांव देवळां कितले फाटी वयता आनी सगळे वी डोंट हॅव अ प्रॉब्लम वी नेवर थिंक ऑन रिलीजियस मॅन वी थिंक एज ब्रदर्स इन क्राइस्ट सो दीस काइंड ऑफ पीपल कुड कम टू स्प्रेड पॉइजन एंड डिस्ट्रॉय आवर कल्चर डिस्ट्रॉय आवर गोल स्पिरिट दीज आर द पीपल हू शुड बी पुट इन साइड एंड वी मस्ट टेल देम दिस इज नॉट योर प्लेस वेर इट्स योर किंगडम वेर यू कैन डू वॉट यू वॉन्ट दिस इज द कंट्री which believes in secularism and this believes in values in Goa is unique for it and Goa we cannot allow Goa to be destroyed. I condemn anybody who making any attack or insult to any god of any religion. It 29 October 2025 hey Gautam Kartada already Saint Francis Xavier ache video kamla and it not a terrorist murder and it not a close to a putra murna man gokta ki murna la tayari इतले वायट वस्तू आम्ही लायफ आन पासून ते ऐकलो ना ते म्हणलं देखून एक पॅटर्न त्याचं आणि तो सेपरेट इन्सिडेंट म्हणून हा येला ते सगळे उतरा रिप्रोड्यूस करून कंप्लेंट दिल्या कित्याक दॅट्स अ सेपरेट कंप्लेंट अपलोड केल्लो ताका भरपूर लायक्स कमेंट्स आयले आणि सुप्रीम कोर्टान कितें म्हणलो की असले कम्युनल उतरां येतात हेट्रेट when people are doing police first register the offense so moto even if there is no pump
पण महत्वाची खबर म्हणल्यार आज पासून गोंयच्या पुलिसांनी वास्को मुरमुगा हांगा हो हिंदू धर्माचो कार्यावळ ऑर्गनायज करपी संघटना हाचेर केस रजिस्टर केल्ली ना आदलो वास्कोचो आमदार आनी आदलो मंत्री जोजे फिलीप डिसुजा हाणें आनी एक पुलीस कंप्लेंट केल्ली आसा हे ऑर्गनायजर हाचेर तशेंच विरोधी निवडलेले आमदार आनी मंत्री हांचेर
तुम्ही गौतम कट्टराक हाडलो दवरलो रिमांड घेतलो तो इन्व्हेस्टिगेशन तुमच्या चालू हा आम्ही हंपर करना पण आम्ही एक सांगूक सोदता इतलेच जे मास्टर माइंड जे कोण असले ज्या प्रोग्रामांक जो लॉर्ड परशुराम ते जो प्रोग्राम असले त्यांना ते माचेर असले आणि ऑर्गनायझर आसले ते काम दवरपाचे पहिले हांव एक एग्जाम्पल दिता जरी तर आयज कोणे ऑर्गनायज केले कसलोय प्रोग्राम केलो आणि प्रोग्रामांक जर कितेंय तरी प्रॉब्लेम झालो मारामारी झाली कितेंय झाली पुलीस कोणाक इमिजिएटली आयज ह्या ऑर्गन बरी एक म्हणजे बरी हाडून त्यांच्यावर एक कारवाई करूं जाय आसली ते दुसरं आयज आमचे मीन एमएलए आणि मिनिस्टर थंय हाजीर आसले क्लॅप मारताले शबासकी दिताले आणि जो एक कॅबिनेट मिनिस्टर जेव्हा ते फंक्शनात हाजीर असता कॅबिनेटची मिनिस्टराची जबाबदारी जाऊन आता तो गव्हर्नमेंटचो मनीस कॅबिनेट तो आयज जेव्हा हो मनीस थंगा रावन तरी तर क्लीन चीट दिता जो गोय साहेबाचे उलयल ताका जाल्यार ह्या मनशाक पयलो म्हणटा तो सॅक अजून गव्हर्नमेंटान केलो ना कित्याक करू ना जो मुवीन गुदिनो कॅबिनेट मिनिस्टर तोरी तर एक मुन्नी आसा हो त्याचो कॅबिनेट मिनिस्टर आम्ही सदांच म्हणतात सिजन कोहले चल्ला आंब्याचे न्हू आंब्याचे चल्ला जेव्हा एक कुसुळ आंबो हा जाल्यार ते कित करताय अरे काढून सेपरेट उडयताय मरे अरे सेम कॅबिनेट ह्या मिनिस्टराक मुवीन गुदिनो आयज जर तुम्ही भायर उडयना ताका ड्रॉप करना जाल्यार सगळ्यांचेर तुमच्या ब्लेम येतलो गव्हर्नमेंटाचेर चीफ मिनिस्टराचेर सगळ्यांचेर ब्लेम येतलो कित्याक आमकां लोकांक म्हणटा ती जस्टीस जाय
आनी एक महत्वाची खबर म्हणल्यार फेब्रुवारीच्या म्हयन्यांत पणजे हांगा साबार गोंयकारांनी गोवा टाऊन आणि कंट्री प्लॅनिंग एक्ट हाचे सेक्शन 39A हाचे विरोध मंत्री विश्वजीत राणे हाच्या दोना पावल घराशी प्रोटेस्ट केल्ले. गेल्ल्या सुमारांत कांय विरोधी पक्षाचे आमदार हांकां पणजेच्या पुलिसांनी चौकशी करपाक आपयले. विरोधी काँग्रेस पक्षाचो आमदार युरी आलेमांव, आल्दोनचो आमदार एडवोकेट कार्लोस आल्वारीस फरेरा आणि आम आदमी पार्टीचे आमदार कॅप्टन वेन्झी वेगस आणि इंजिनियर क्रूज सिल्वा हांकां पुलिसांनी नोटीस काढून पुलिस स्टेशनाचेर आपयले.
लोका बारा जरी तर आम रावले दिस इज अ फाईट फॉर द पीपल ऑफ गोवा. अ लॉट ऑफ सच एफआयआर्स आय बिलीव विल बी रजिस्टर्ड. दिस इज नॉट अ स्टेन ऑन मी पर्सनली. इट इज लाईक अ मेडल, इट्स अ बेज ऑफ ऑनर फॉर स्टँडिंग फॉर गोवा अँड गोन्स. आणि मला दिसता लेट अस सी दे हॅव कॉल्ड अस नाउ. आय विल जस्ट गो चेक. आय एम नॉट अवेअर. आय गॉट दीस जेन्ना म्हाका हे समन हे आयले सकाळी म्हाका दिसले हाऊसान समन केलं म्हणजे स्पीकरान गव्हर्मेंटान सेशन आपयलं. आमकां ह्या 39A विरोध आमकां जे गोंयांत जे कायदे लॉ अँड ऑर्डर प्रॉब्लेम डिस्कस करपाक हे समन आयलां म्हणून मागीर गमोवन आयलें की पुलीस आयल्या म्हणून आनी पुलीस हॅव गिवन अ समन. सो डेफिनेटली आर मंत्रा इज धरोमत. We are fighting for the causes and the issues of the people. Definitely, so I will go inside and check.
तर ह्यो जाण असल्यो कांय गोंयच्यो खबरो कोंकणीतल्यान मेलबर्न ऑस्ट्रेलिया सावन. मेळूया दुसऱ्या सोमारात, ते मेरेन मोग आसंदी.
Ya Raula Moro Salo. Welcome to Sisega Donpar on 104.6 Planet FM with me, Velma Fernandez. Today, we are honored to have with us a remarkable Jesuit priest, Father Richard D'Souza from the Society of Jesus, who has not only taken his final vows as a Jesuit on 8th December 2025, but is also the first Cuban Jesuit to be appointed as a director of the Vatican Observatory, one of the most prestigious scientific institutions in the world. In today's episode, we will explore Father Richard's inspiring journey, his path to becoming a Jesuit, and his thoughts on the intersection of science and spirituality, especially in the context of his role at the Vatican Observatory. Welcome to Sisega Donpar, Father.
Thank you for having me.
So we'll start with something very, very basic, though we've heard about you, you know, quite a bit in bits and pieces. Very basic about your childhood. If you could tell us about your background, something about your childhood and your journey into joining the Jesuits and being a Jesuit priest.
So my parents originally hail from Goa, but they did grow up in different parts of India. And my parents were working at that time in Kuwait, but my mother's family hails from Pune, so they were settled in Pune. And so I was born actually in Pune, but immediately after that we went back to Kuwait. So for the delivery she came back. I spent my first 12 years of my life in Kuwait till the first Gulf War in 1990, and then we came down to Goa. And we settled in Mapsa. That's where I attended school at St. Brito's High School. Did my higher secondary at St. Xavier's High Secondary, and then immediately after that I joined the Jesuit novitiate, joining the Jesuit order in 1998.
Yeah. Okay, and if I could single out a couple of things that you have done, one work that you did in Goa was the Deepen Your Faith program. Was this before you went abroad for your studies? When
so
did
I,
this happen?
My, tell us more about that. So my formation as a Jesuit was long. Took almost 15 years joining the Jesuits till I was ordained as a priest. And parts of it were done in various parts of the country, from Belgaum, Karnataka, Pune, and then I went to Germany to do my master's in physics. So before that, I was in St. Xavier's College in Mumbai, then I went to Germany to do my master's in physics, and then I returned back to India in 2005 to start studying philosophy and theology in Pune again. I finally got ordained in 2011. So when I finished my theology and got ordained, it was at that juncture that along with a Jesuit companion, Father Shannon, we began this Deepen Your Faith program in Raya at the Pedro Arupe Institute there. And the idea of this program was to give lay people a sense of theology, to convey this to them. So what we did realize at that time was there were a lot of lay people who were very interested in getting involved in the church, but they did not have that theological background necessary to work within the church. They are most lay people have their theological backgrounds at the level of the catechism after confirmation, and yes, they don't have opportunities to deepen that. And so we explored the possibility in those days of offering small courses in a very digestible form to the lay people, introducing them to the Bible, to Catholic theology, to canon law, to liturgy, to enable them to take a deeper and more active role in the church, in the lives of their parishes. And it was a lovely 2 years I spent over there at Deepening of Faith. And I think from the response from the people around us in those days, it was a very successful program.
Yeah, I think so too, because as I mentioned earlier, my teacher also still talks about the course.
Yeah. Yes.
And from religion to now astronomy, if you could tell us what got you interested in astronomy,
yeah,
or Was it the Jesuits who motivated?
So I was always interested in the sciences right from the very beginning. Even before joining the Jesuits as a young lad, finishing my higher secondary, I was weighing the possibilities of a career in science or becoming a priest, not knowing that they were very compatible. But one of the things which attracted me to the Jesuit order was also their involvement, their past involvement in the sciences. Mm-hmm. If there is one order in the Catholic Church which has been consistently involved in the natural sciences, it is the Jesuits. And so I, so right from this early age, I was very interested in the sciences, but also interested in God and religion and my vocation to be a priest. And along the way, the Jesuit order encouraged me to explore these possibilities, right from my college days to sending me for a degree, a master's degree in physics in Germany. It was they themselves that encouraged me to think of astronomy as a possibility of serving the church. And so immediately after we finished the Deepen Your Faith program, I returned back to Germany to do my doctorate in astronomy. And so it is, while there was an interest on my part, there was a lot of encouragement from the Society of Jesus.
And for our viewers, and for me too, if you could tell us a little about your research as a scientist, or put it in layman terms. Put it in simple
terms.
First
of all, in astronomy, we study the heavens, so we all heavenly bodies, right from meteors to to planets, stars, galaxies, and the universe and its beginning. And we have these three basic questions in astronomy which reflect the fundamental transcendental questions of the human person. Where do I come from? Where am I going? And are we alone in the universe? And these are the three main questions in astronomy. What I study is, where do we come from? And in particular, that means from the beginning of the universe to now. And I study how galaxies form and evolve over time. So we know that we live in a galaxy called the Milky Way. Everyone knows that it's a very large galaxy, and there are millions and billions of galaxies in the universe. And what I try and study is, how do you start from the beginning and then come to the population of the galaxies we have today. So this is a very large field, and in particular what I do is I consider myself a galactic archaeologist. Galactic archaeologist. What is this? What is that? What does it mean? It means that we understand that galaxies contain large number of stars. Then we are trying to understand, how does it start from the beginning to contain these large amount of stars, billions and billions of stars? And so a galaxy can do the hard work and make its stars by itself, and it also can merge with other galaxies. I studied this process of how galaxies merge. They merge due to gravity, so two galaxies attract each other and finally merge over cosmic time frames. And what I do is, I look at a galaxy and I try and understand its past. So I like to consider myself like the Indiana Jones of galaxy formation. So what I do is I look at a galaxy, and just like an archaeologist will go to an historical site and try and infer the past of that particular site or building or temple or church, and talk about the people who lived there and, you know, how was it constructed. Similarly, I look at a galaxy, look at certain hints which are perceptible to us, and try and infer its past history. And this helps us to inform us about what collisions did the galaxy have in the past, And how have these collisions actually changed the properties of the galaxy? It's a bit technical, but I hope I explained to you in a certain way.
Almost. I got it about 80% to 90%. Good. Does that also tell you something about the Milky Way then?
Yes, so we can study the Milky Way and we can understand how Milky Way galaxy formed. What were the collisions in the past? So we know that the Milky Way from the studies suffered a large collision about 10 billion years ago. This is a very recent knowledge in the last 5 years that we have discovered this. And we can also understand that the Milky Way is merging with another smaller galaxy at the moment. It's called the Large Magellanic Clouds. We don't see that galaxy, but if you go to the southern hemisphere, you will see it. So these are things which help us understand our own Milky Way, because that's the place we live. But it also helps us to understand other galaxies.
Okay. There's also an asteroid that's been named after you.
Yes. That's
when did that happen?
It's only an honorary title. Mm-hmm. So I do not work in asteroids. The Vatican Observatory, through its telescope, has discovered a large number of asteroids.
Okay.
And as discoverers of the asteroids, the discoverers have the possibility of suggesting names for the asteroids. Now, asteroids are the only objects you can name after people. And there is a strict rules about how you can name these objects. Mm-hmm. And therefore, a large number of us working at the Vatican Observatory were suggested as names. And so today we are proud of the fact that we have nearly 50 asteroids named after Jesuits. Jesuit scientists and Jesuit priests. But it's also a sign of our involvement in the sciences and that we are constantly interested in understanding the universe.
There's 50 Jesuits down through the years.
Down through the years, yes. Some of them are dead. That's how it's St. Ignatius. There's a number of the older Jesuits since now dead. Great Jesuits in the past. We have now named asteroids in honor of them.
There's a report I came across the other day about your statement on this Artemis mission.
Can you
put some light on that?
So the Artemis missions are a re-attempt to go back to the moon. And these follow the very successful Apollo programs. So after 50 years, humankind is trying to re-attempt to go back to the moon and to land a human person on the moon. The Apollo programs in the past was a visible sign of the possibility of human endeavor. How far you can reach. And once we did that, we moved on to the next challenge of sending things to Mars, etc., etc. But right now, within the space community, there is an increasing desire to use these resources, which are on asteroids or the moon, so that they to be able to mine them. And therefore it has now commenced a new space race to be able to exploit the resources which are available in space. And the Artemis mission is to be seen within this new paradigm change as different from the Apollo programs. And it is important in the context of this to consider what the Vatican, the Holy See, has been saying, is that when we consider trying to utilize the resources of space, the resources of space should belong to all humankind and should not be for the profit of one person or one company or one country. And nobody should be left behind. So right now, the possibility of mining such things is in the hands of those who can afford it. Well, the Vatican is insisting that we should that the benefits of space, as has always been considered, should benefit all humankind. This is a concern, a great concern for the church, especially because space is now getting very crowded. We're putting a lot of satellites into space. We are sending missions to space, tourists to space. We are even trying the possibility of mining asteroids and the moon. Oh. And and people are pushing ahead with these programs. But the fear is that this progress will lead to the benefit of only a few. And we would like to avoid.
When you say people, it is private?
These are many private and public sectors. So a large part of the U.S. space program is now privatized.
Okay.
It is no longer a pure government venture of NASA, but it is NASA in collaboration with other organizations. And while the Artemis program is a pure NASA program, it does open up the possibility of private parties entering into the fore. And then there comes the other concern of polluting these pristine environments. So the moon and the asteroids and Mars are pristine environments.
Yes.
And once you go and start mining it, you start polluting these. And then the question is, what is our role? What is our responsibility in all of this? And there is concerns. We need to think about it as a community, as global humanity, of what is should be our legacy be. And the Vatican is inviting a discussion, wanting all partners to inviting them to a discussion to consider how we can use space to benefit all of humanity.
Okay, so that's the role. Yeah. That's the statement that I read about.
Yeah.
Getting back to Earth now, here. If I try to trace your timeline, you've moved many places.
Yes.
Middle East, to Goa, to Bombay, to Germany.
Yes.
Have I got it right? Then
yes.
Ann Arbor.
Yes.
And now, of course, back in Rome.
Mm-hmm.
What was it like adjusting to all the places? Did you suffer from some culture shock or...
It is difficult.
Or is this something that you're trained for by the Jesuits?
Yeah, I must agree that that moving from place to place is hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy readjusting. Mm-hmm. But what fascinates me is our cultures and the exchange of cultures and adapting to a culture.
Mm-hmm.
And I always try to remember the old missionaries who came to India from Europe often.
Okay.
And they came leaving their lands and settling here and adopting human Indian customs. You would often see them walking barefoot or in a kurta or in a very more Indian sometimes than some of us. And it was this which inspired me to say, when you go to a place, you have to learn their language and their culture and adapt. And this is what helped me as I've actually moved every 5 years. I've never spent more than 5 years in a single place.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Rome, I'm more stable. But it is this adapting to different places and different cultures, which is hard in the beginning. But once you understand this and once you have a certain mindset of saying, I would like to adapt, I would like to learn, I've tried to observe and see, then it becomes much easier. Yeah.
Okay. And there was something that I was reading last night as I was preparing for today. I mean, the Jesuit spirituality, they say, is all about finding God in all things.
Oh, yes.
Yes, okay. So I was fascinated, thrilled when I read about St. Ignatius de Loyola last night, who was a stargazer.
Yes.
And I just guessed that he must have been gazing at the stars and probably praying, I'm guessing. Is it the same with you when you gaze at the stars, maybe doing some data calculations?
Yeah.
Is it spirituality or is it science or is it two different things for you?
Let me put this in context. So
yes.
St. Ignatius, when he was recovering from his injury, would often look up into the night sky and admire the heavens and the stars, and that will help him think about the grandness of God and of the Creator who created all this. And his legacy to us is embodied in this phrase, finding God in all things. And so we as Jesuits try to do that, and especially for us Jesuits working in the sciences, we firmly believe that God works in all things, and trying to understand nature helps us to understand the Creator who created this nature, right? This universe. So the more I understand how the universe works, the more I give praise and glory to the Creator who created this. And this is how we find God in all things. But in my case, I have to admit that more often than not, I do not look up at the night sky. I'm looking at a computer screen of an image on the night sky.
Okay.
And when I'm doing my calculations of the motions of the stars or their properties, I am looking at either a spectrum or a piece of code, and one often forgets that beauty which comes from gazing at the night sky. And over too often I need to get up from my table and go up and look up, and I think these two things are complementary. It's to keep that wonder which comes from looking with your eyes, to being curious about how things work, and then finally to realizing that the more effort you put in to try and understand how things work, the more you're giving praise and glory to God. Yeah.
Okay. And Father, the church and astronomy, it's been sort of a complicated history.
Yeah.
You know what I'm getting to, Galileo being the flashpoint. As a director, do you feel that shadow, or is the Vatican Observatory making any amends? Is there anything of the sort?
So, I think what people need to understand is the history of these events, what exactly happened in those days and what is happening today. So we could say that the Catholic Church has been one of the biggest supporters of the sciences and astronomy from the 16th century onwards, right? Even before the time of Galileo, the Church had invested a lot of its resources to recalculate the calendar. That's what we have, the Gregorian calendar.
Yes.
And this was calculated by Father Christopher Clavius, a German Jesuit, a mathematician. And it was Father Christopher Clavius who actually encouraged this young astronomer named Galileo Galilei, and even wrote his recommendation letter when he looked for a position at the University of Pisa. But over time, of course, Galileo had some particular conflicts with the church, and the nature of his conflicts is interesting to understand. The nature of his conflicts was often on a personal note rather than on a theological. So he was a contentious character, brilliant, extremely brilliant, but contentious, and he would often fight with his colleagues about who discovered what first and the nature of these discoveries. And quite often he was right and sometimes he was wrong, and this created a lot of tensions between him and the Jesuit scientists at that stage. Now when he proposed that the Earth goes around the Sun, and this Copernican interpretation needed for the Church to reinterpret the Bible, that is when the Church had a certain clash with him. They were okay with his scientific theories, but they were not okay with him putting on the cap of a theologian and trying to tell the Church how to reform the its theology of its day, its reinterpretation of Scripture. But yes, he was condemned. He suffered unjustly under the Church. He was under house arrest. Yes. But we must understand that Galileo Galilei died as a very faithful Catholic. His two daughters were nuns. They took care of him in his older age. And it is, but what happens is, 2 centuries later, in the 18th, 19th century, when there was a strong anti-clerical movement after the French Revolution, they look back 2 centuries to find a figure which would be the symbol of that clash, which they are experiencing now, and that's how Galileo Galilei becomes the symbol of the clash. But he was not the symbol of the clash during his lifetime or even after his lifetime. This is a phenomenon which arises in the 18th, 19th century as a consequence of the French Revolution and the strong anti-clerical movements in the church. I have to say that by the 18th century, the church had already adopted the system of Galileo when they knew it was right. And the exact proof of Galileo's ideas came only in the 18th century. But you must also note that Pope John Paul II in the 1980s actually apologized for the treatment of Galileo. So that was already done when John Paul II, many years now after everybody had moved on.
Yeah.
But yet he felt the need that to set the record straight. There was no need for him to do it, but he felt the need of it. Now the Vatican Observatory, so that situation is done. The Vatican Observatory by itself has a very good reputation in the world of astronomy.
Yes.
I can walk into any astronomical institution and around the globe and be welcomed. And so we are very well accepted within the scientific community. It to a layperson who knows things in bits and pieces, often they go back to the Galileo, but not knowing the developments of the case and how things have. It's very interesting when John Paul II apologized. I think it's a thing of great humility to the church to say we were wrong, and we make amends, but we were wrong. That was the thing to say. We were wrong on the part of John Paul II. Was a great moment, and a lot of people, including scientists, appreciated this gesture. Even though the church has long been at the forefront of astronomical research through the Vatican Observatory or otherwise.
Okay. And sitting here in Goa, further for us, I mean, the Vatican Observatory is like some mystical place far away. If could you throw some light on the working of the observatory, its significance to the church,
sure.
Some basics, some
yeah.
work. That
so I again will have to go back to the history.
Sure.
The church's direct involvement in astronomy begins in the 16th century with the reform of the calendar, the Gregorian calendar, which we use today. And since that date, the popes have always been supporting astronomy, and there's always existed a pontifical observatory in some form or the other.
Okay.
Either under the patronage of the Jesuits or others, but the popes would support these observatories. Now, all these observatories were taken away from the Pope when the Italians conquered Rome in the 1870s. At the formation of the Italian state. And the Pope was in those days a prisoner within the walls of the Vatican and did not have an observatory. And along comes Pope Leo the 13th, and who was very much interested in the sciences, and he refounds the Vatican Observatory in 1891. And his motivation, so in the beginning, the church was interested in astronomy to reform the calendar. By fast forward 3 or 4 centuries later, when he refounds the observatory, his objective is to refound the observatory so that it may demonstrate that the church and the sciences go hand in hand. That faith and science can go on. So our primary purpose is to show the world and the church that faith and science can go together. That's our primary purpose. So the Vatican Observatory is a small, very small organization. It is totally funded by the Vatican. We are based in Castel Gandolfo, that is the Pope's summer residence outside Rome, an hour's journey outside Rome. Today the Vatican Observatory is run by the Society of Jesus, so most of the staff members are Jesuit priests and brothers, and they are, majority of them have doctorates in astronomy, or they are astronomers. We also have a meteorologist. And our main purpose is to do scientific research.
Okay.
Since the 1990, because the light pollution around Rome was getting too large, we opened a second station of the observatory in the U.S., especially in the southern part of Arizona, the state of Arizona, near to the town of Tucson. And it is there that we set up a new telescope in the 1990s on a very high mountain, about 3,000 meters high. We have a small 2-meter class telescope which belongs to the Vatican Observatory.
Okay.
And so we are about 14 Jesuits.
Only?
Small, 14 Jesuits,
okay,
working at the observatory.
Okay.
And this has been a more or less a stable number from the 50s onwards, that, you know, between 10 to 14 Jesuits working at the observatory. And as I said, our purpose is to do research to show that science and religion can go together.
I've seen a couple of your photographs with Pope Leo the 14th.
Oh, yes.
So what has your interaction with the Pope been like?
Yes, so it's great having Pope Leo the 14th sitting in the chair of St. Peter. He was elected last year, and we immediately got to meet him about a month later. He accepted an audience with us and our summer school we were organizing at that time. So this audience was arranged already from the time of Pope Francis. Pope Francis unfortunately died suddenly, and Pope Leo had so many things to do in his first few days, but nonetheless he made time to meet us and he gave us a very nice address, and it was my first occasion of meeting him. Since then I have met him on a number of occasions. He has come and visited the observatory. We have shown him our telescopes, and he has an undergraduate degree in mathematics. And but then since then has now studied canon law. But he's very curious, very humble, and it's lovely interacting with him.
As a director of the Vatican Observatory, do you have any plans, projects in the pipeline, anything for either aspiring astronomers, or can I say aspiring Jesuit?
Yeah.
Astronomers.
So, of course, one of the main jobs as a director is to attract young Jesuit talent to be at the observatory. And I constantly go and plead with the provincials to send me their best men, their talented men to work in astronomy. But it is hard because, as you know, Jesuit formation itself is very long. But then on top of that, we ask the Jesuit to have a professional training in physics and astronomy, which can take as many years as becoming Jesuit. So the Jesuit may take 15 years to become a priest, and then we add on it another 10 to 12 years of studying.
It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work and a lot of commitment. And the kind of work we do often requires us, you know, not to be out with the public and get and interact with people, but really to close ourselves in our rooms and work. And this is hard intellectual work. It's necessary for the church. It's always, I often tell my Jesuit companions, it's always nice to go out and give a talk or give a retreat and people will say, nice father, a pat on the back, and you feel good. But sitting in a room and, you know, doing the hard work of research can be hard, lonely, frustrating. But it is important work. It is important work we are doing for the church. And my job is to go and motivate not only the provincials but the young men. But I would consider that the Vatican Observatory has a number of things we do in terms of activities we do. So there is a basic thing we do is the scientific research that occupies about 70-80% of our time. So this includes running the telescope, looking at data, planning observations, calculations, publishing, going for conferences, meeting people, meeting fellow astronomers, you know, and this takes up a lot of our time. On top of that, we build up on we also have a strong educational component. What do I mean by this is that although we do not have formal students, we organize a lot of events which are educational in nature. And in this we try to encourage astronomy, especially in developing countries. So we have this very famous summer school, which is every 2 years. It goes on for a month. We invite students from, like, masters and PhD students from the developing world, from all over, and then we get the best faculty to teach them. And it's a lovely experience. It's very tiring on our part. It's 1 month. We organize them, bring them to Rome. But this way we have trained so many astronomers down the years. And it's nice to see that the first generation of students have come back to teach the next generation of students. That's because they are deeply aware of the possibility of the, you know, what they gained in this school. So that's the Vatican Observatory Summer School. We also are now starting a new program where called JOE, Jesuit Observatory Experience, within the educational framework of offering a telescope, which is this research-grade telescope, to students around the world. They'll be able to use it remotely, so they don't have to go to the telescope. They can use it from wherever they are. They need a good internet connection. Because oftentimes a telescope, a big telescope like that, for research or for, you know, a scientific project in your bachelor's or your master's, most educational institutions don't have access to these telescopes. They are very expensive. And so we want to make that available, and we're starting this. This follows our educational component. Now, on top of that, we have another component which we do a lot, is what I call the faith-science dialogue. So we go around giving small talks to parishes, to interviews, to seminars, to bishops, priests, religious, lay people, trying to show them how faith and science go together. And for most people in the church still have that difficulty of saying, you know, is my faith consistent with the science? What about Genesis and the Bible and the Big Bang? And they struggle with these questions, and we do this this component of reaching out to the community to help them to see that it goes together and how it can go together. And then the last thing we do is we also organize a lot of conferences in Rome. And what we love doing is bringing people to Rome, you know, bringing them, organizing the, giving them the chance to interact. We're talking about scientists primarily. Yeah. And we love doing that, and we continuously organize conferences in the summer for people, and we offer facilities to them for the time. But the main idea of this is to foster interactions, community building, among the scientific community.
Nice. Just one thing about the student programs that yes. you mentioned. I was also there. Do they need to have a particular degree or something?
Yeah, so we... So generally we are trying to work with undergraduates and postgraduates. We do not have a requirement about a degree. But what we do have is a strong interest in astronomy, knowledge, and if you have some form of research experience. See, a degree is no sign of, is no indication that a person knows anything.
Yes.
But we are, sometimes we find very talented undergraduates who come for our summer schools or for our programs. But sometimes they could be a little bit delayed, a master student, even a PhD student. But this, we want this interest in astronomy and this, you know, this capabilities. Are they showing indications and signs that they will do well in a research field? Or are they research, or are they curious? Are they do they want to learn about the world and the universe?
Do you think India has all the required facilities?
We often get a number of students from India from our summer schools, yes. Consistently down the years. We have a rule for our summer school is that not more than 2 persons from the same country. So we only accept 25. And not more than 2 persons. But we, from Southeast Asia, from this Indian subcontinent, we have consistently had people coming in.
So one last message, Father, perhaps to all our Susegad Dhanpar listeners, rather to the aspiring astronomers.
Well, first I would like to say is, first I'll something a message to the Catholics, right? I think first of all, it's important to realize that both faith and science go together. They are not two different fields, they are not separate, there is no clash. We have, the church has always insisted that faith and reason must go hand in hand. And so, and the church has been consistently working in the astronomy, in the sciences. And as an indication, as a sign to the faithful, that they need to somehow bring together these two dimensions of their lives into a unified whole. And therefore I would encourage Catholics not only to learn about the sciences, but to learn more about your faith. Because what we need is both dimensions. You need a more profound understanding of your faith, as I did in your Deepen Your Faith program. But we also need a much more understanding about the sciences and how they work, because it affects so much of our lives and they go together. And what I would like to say to young Goans and young astronomers is always begin to dream. Right, that's a dream, and be curious. I think there are, there is no limits to what you can do. The amount of opportunities available today are much more than what they were during our time. There are so much more possibilities you can do, be much more creative, so many more job opportunities. But you have to dream big, not be satisfied with the bare minimum. And be constantly curious. Curious about the world, ask questions, take advantage of the opportunities being given to you, and to do internships, research, go out, get out from this shell of a comfortable go in life, and expand our horizons. And I think we can learn, and astronomy definitely is a place where you can do that, and there are plenty of opportunities available. Thank you.
That's it, Father. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for your words. Thank you for making the time for us here. And we wish you all the very best, both in your role as a director as well as in your vocation as a Jesuit priest.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure being with you.
Don't go aside. peke bashin son pos bokta dos res bashin kalis konan krauta zaitashin murgota umedin tenkoshin mogatso korine zovante batu zaina kitlefante Tono koto plarkante, poina to kon kude kon tonte. Supokta voi mogan ked nakastai kagan, mogu loita lagan kovon bagan. Kazaka liston to vorden bito, infokot mu kon ro modin gota. Don calza hasto ke pashen. Un cosmocta dus resbaschen Paris con ancrauta zaitaschen Murgota umedim bentuschen Mogazzo corine zovante Patu saina kit lefante Nocturno no coto pliarcante Poi nato con chiude con tonte Supporta voi mogan che tastai ragan Moguloi tai lacan bogon bagan Calza canis tonta vorgian di torotta Em tocop mo com ram mo dem gutta Supporta voi mogan che tastai ragan Moguloi tai lacan bogon bagan Zakaris ponta vordian bito gota em fokot mo kon ram mo dengota Asto que que baixe Son tos poptados tres baixe Caris con ancrauta zaitaxe Murgota medi ten coxe Mogazzo corine sovante Patu saina kit lefante Curdo no coto pliarcante, poi nato, con pute, con pute.
Sutu butu galuntu distai superstar Char wasa atinas toloi amcha garanga chapa galar Tu ja scutara char doki bava ami bon dole acaban Ata kite upgrade re tu je galpa chakaran Busy busy zalore bava gara pati on zauna maka kite ura sailo muzo azre tuka Busy busy zalore bava gara pati on zauna maka kite ura sailo